God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Now, that's very important in our study of Jude. That word foam, that's in the study of Jude, and you have to understand both of those. Okay. Through the mountains quake in its swelling pride. So you know he's not talking about the physical mountains. There is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. All right, let's sing now, if you'll open your hymnals, to hymn number 37, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Sing all four verses.
Our helper, he hath been done.
I've never, as far as I can recall, in elementary, never been shy about getting up and speaking in front of people. When I was in elementary, I got to be in everything because I had the loudest voice, and it would articulate, you could understand the words on the back row. And so I got to do it just for that reason alone. But one thing I do know about me is that once I do stand up, whether it be in the spiritual realm of teaching the scriptures of the Word of God or any kind of speaking, once I'm here, my whole mind is in this. So I'm not, a lot of times people will say, don't forget to say this and don't forget to say that. And if they don't hand it to me and write it down and it's right there, then I'll forget it because my mind is not anywhere else but right here and whatever I'm doing. And like I said, it could be just speeches, other speeches I did in high school or college or just any kind of teaching, and definitely spiritual. And so Larry's not been pleased with my absence of not drawing your attention to something, and so therefore I will let Larry come and just talk about our deal here. So Larry, come on. not in words. I read looks, even though I'm not married. I can still read. Looks and tone. Just remember, you put your name on there. And just there's nothing great about having your name on this. So it means work. I notice a lot of people, Jim, are under finance. They want to handle the money. Let's see. You said there's something on here for pastoral needs. Okay, my kitchen is a mess. I mean, it is a mess. I'm dog sitting this weekend, so it's a mess. So I need to get help. Okay. Thank you, hon. Appreciate that. I was just having fun with you. Okay, prayer. Lady that's generally here is not here this morning, and that is Judith Young. And the reason that Judith is not here is not because of her broken back, but because her 2.5-year-old grandchild, his name is Dalton, was taken to the hospital in Plano Wednesday, and they said he is too close to dying, and we can't handle him here. And so they rushed him. They wanted to get a chopper, but they couldn't, but they rushed him to the children's hospital. And took him to children's hospital, his heart was beating so rapidly. What they do is they have all of the things right there that they kind of wrap him in, getting ready if anything were to happen. And he will be there at least 4 or 5 more days from today. And he went in Wednesday, Thursday. And they're looking. He's got some water on the lungs. They don't know if they're going to have to go in and operate to drain the water off the lungs. And a lot of little problems going on now, because you well know one thing happens, other things start happening. So he is being intently watched, all kinds of monitors on this little guy. And I've gone in to see him a couple of times, went in to see him yesterday evening. And just, I tell you, for all that's going on, he's got a good heart. He's got a good spirit, and made him laugh a little bit. But he's in pain. And the doctor said, Kelly told me, Kelly's the father. Kelly and Tammy are his parents, so please be in prayer for Kelly and Tammy, wonderful people. Kelly said that he had asked the doctor, are we out of the emergency? Are we out of the red zone yet? And the doctor said, absolutely not. Said, absolutely not. We will not even think about letting him go home until we feel very comfortable. And we do not feel comfortable. And so, as I said, they've got the heart, it's now beating, what was it, 195, supposed to be 120, something like that. They're just watching everything about it. And his heart just, it bothers Of course it would. I ask about it, Kelly and Tammy, because the heart just, you can just see him. I mean, you can just see his chest move. And, I just happened to hit a few minutes yesterday. He had a very difficult day yesterday, and I just happened to hit a few moments when he was feeling relaxed. And, be in prayer for Dalton, and be in prayer for his parents, his grandmother, who's a member of our assembly, Judith, and, for the entire family. They have two other children that have to, that has to be taken care of, all their provisions and school and everything has to be taken care of. They're living at the hospital. They have one little bed, and Kelly, the father, sleeps on the floor there, and I understand that. So please be in prayer. And if you're so inclined, to send Dalton a little card. He's in Children's Hospital, room 633, and we'll be there at least till Wednesday, and maybe longer. Just depends on the recovery today. Yes? Young. Yeah, it's Judah's son and daughter-in-law. And great people. They have a good sense of humor and good people. So please be in prayer for the entire family. And again, the name is Dalton Young, Children's Hospital, room 633. John and Judy Hintz got a hold of me yesterday, and I like this. They just wanted our church to be in prayer with their church over a very loved member of their church. Her name is Sharon Haig. And Sharon Haig has had surgery for ovarian cancer and now has a lot of complications. So please be in prayer for Sharon Haig, H-A-G-E, and her family, and in for John's church and John and Judy at this time. So please be in prayer. Got a report. We have been in prayer concerning Leah, Larry's sister. And Pat gave me an update. She's still not doing all that good, right? Correct? She's not doing all that good. They think they've diagnosed everything that is wrong. And it will be 9 months. She's got at the minimum 9 months of battle to go through to get her body at least healthy. And just a tremendous number of complications for a young lady. So please be in prayer for Leah and for the entire family at this time. All right, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Gigi's mother, doing very poorly. And the family's going to have to make some decisions, so please be in prayer, not only for Gigi's mother, but also for the family as they make decisions. It's the most difficult time, most pressure time in my life is when I had to make decisions about Mom. So please be in prayer for Gigi and his family and his brothers and sisters as they make decisions in that regard. Yes? She died last week? Okay. All right. Just be in prayer for one another, and be in prayer for our young people, be in prayer for Nathan, be in prayer for Wes's children. Wes is not going to be here the next two Sundays. He's got to go work and out of the state. And yes, you are? Very good. Where are you going? St. Louis. They need converted. St. Louis needs converted, let me assure you. Yeah. Yes, we will be in prayer. Thank you. Wow. And do some work in St. Louis. I know some friends in St. Louis. Yeah, St. Louis, that's a battleground. Yeah. We need to send missionaries out of Texas to St. Louis. Yes, hon. I want to pray for my friend Casey and her father and their family. All right. That's all we need to know. Name is Casey, her mother and father. So let's be in prayer.
Her mother is the one that had just passed away.
Casey, okay. I didn't put it. Okay. Yes, let's be in prayer for Casey. How's Casey doing, hon? She doing okay? Okay. Well, you can understand that. Certainly understand that. Okay, for those of you that may not have been here last week, Casey, Amber, and a bunch of teenagers on the drill team went to New Orleans and for competition. And Casey's mother, what was her first name?
Linda.
Went up to her room to shower or to bathe and clean up and died in the tub. And so we need to be in prayer for Casey and her father, and we'll be in prayer for Amber to be the kind of friend that God would have her to be. So we'll be in prayer for Amber also. Any other prayer request? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give grudgingly, nor of necessity. What that means is, people, I say it often, what that means is without any type of coercion. What that means is without any kind of pressure. What that means is not by tithing, not by law giving, not by some pressure of the church. It means that they give by the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads, convicts in the giving. And so that's what that concept means. And so the great issue is, are we filled with the Holy Spirit in giving? Let us pray. Jim, would you get the plates? Heavenly Father, it's so difficult here, and this is not a ritual prayer. We're aware of the two spheres of freedom that are involved, the political, economic. We're aware of it even more profoundly, Heavenly Father, as our military personnel are killed. Each week we read more and more killed. The world is in turmoil. We're wearing down our forces. We value the freedom we have enjoyed in this country for over 200 years now. It's been like freedom under glass. It's been unparalleled in history, the freedom that the ordinary citizen enjoys in America, the opportunities that the ordinary citizen has in America, the choices, the freedom, Heavenly Father, to live wherever we choose, to marry, to go to the church, to do with our time and our money as we see fit. What precious freedoms. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the men and women that provide this freedom. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because it is a spiritual realm of freedom that keeps us out of darkness on what to do. That gives us the light to see what to do with our political, economic freedom. What to do with our money, what to do with our time, where to worship and why, whom to marry and why. So, Father, we pray this morning as we give that you will receive the offerings we're about to give and that you will continue to use them. Continue to bless this humble assembly in our outreach. Father, I'm so thankful for everyone who comes to the assembly here on Sunday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Very thankful for Wes Tuttle. You gifted him so much with music that he could be at any church he wanted. He's chosen to worship here. Thank you for James Taylor, who does so much getting us on the internet and getting our messages out in the modern techniques today. Thank you for those who serve in so many different ways, Heavenly Father. We pray that you'll continue to use this humble assembly. Continue to allow us the opportunity to come and study and see more and more. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
It's song number 280.
And Wes will be in prayer for you as you travel. I think sometimes he does that just so he'll know how much we miss him when he's not here. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Every time I sit down to study the Gospel of John, chapter 12, I sit down and I say, okay, I've got to make some progress. Let's speed it up, Lord. Let's get this thing going, Spirit. We need to move on. And then I start studying, and he says, we're going to slow down, and we're going to look at some things. And so I'm doing it at, far as I can tell, at his timing. Let's read verses 34 and 35, our study. Or excuse me, 35 and 36. John 12, 35, Jesus therefore said to them, he doesn't answer their question. This is his final appeal. Right after this, Jesus Christ will go into secret. He will go into private, to the private life. This is his public ministry here, and it's so he's going to move into the private after this. For a little while longer, and we now know the total frame of that, about 47 days, but the immediate frame of that is just a few days, and then he'll be crucified. For a little while longer, the light, Jesus Christ, is among you, the nation of Israel. This is really to the nation. We can apply it to individuals, but it is to the nation. While I walk, while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. The darkness is getting ready to overtake the nation of Israel. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. And boy, we're going to see that's weak for what the Greek says. It's much stronger than that. I'm really surprised. I looked at several translations, and they miss what this Greek word is saying. Verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light. Now what he's done here, he's defined in verse 35, walk in the light. While the little while longer you have the light, walk in the light. While you have the light, believe in the light. So that's how you walk in the light, is believe in him. Talking here about salvation one. In order that you may become sons of light. What a great appeal. The nation's getting ready to turn him over to the Romans to be crucified. That's what they're getting ready to do. It's very interesting to me in the past, the movie The Passion of Christ, what people see. A guy came up to me in the gym just this week, and big guy, we were talking, and he asked me if I saw The Passion of the Christ, and he said, yeah. I said, yeah, and he said, well, one thing that we talked a little bit, and he said, boy, I was really amazed how the Jews killed him and all. And I said, wait a minute. This is very important. This is very important, MJ. And who actually killed him? I'm just make you think a minute. I'm not going to say it. Jews. I said, no, think. And we, okay, I gave him a few little hints. And he said, it was the Romans. And I said, that's very important. The Jews didn't kill him. They turned him over to be killed by the Romans. It had to be both Gentile and Jew. Who gave him all the beatings? It was the Romans. Yes, the Jews turned him over. But a lot of the world is so set on the anti-Semitism that they've lost the historical thing going on, even from just a casual observance. It wasn't the Jews alone. It was the Jews and the Romans that had a part of this. Okay, so then we can see what's going on in passage related to the nation of Israel first, and then related to us. Let's pray. I pray now, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes in the next few moments as we study these passages. Cause us to see the things that you would have us to see, to understand the things you would have us to grasp in regard to the nation of Israel. So much anti-Semitism in the world, Heavenly Father, we need to just simply understand what was going on. And if we can understand what was happening to the Jews at that time, we can understand what happens to America, what happens to Christians themselves when they get into darkness and don't even know it. Open our eyes, please, Father. Let your Spirit be our teacher. In Christ's name, amen. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Now, this is a result, taking right up from last week, no review. This is a result of spiritual eclipse. Now, we want to know what is a spiritual eclipse. Please, first of all, look with me at Luke 22. Look with me at Luke 22. All right, Luke 22, and we want to read 31 and 32. Now, what we're looking at is the time Jesus Christ near the crucifixion, a lot of things going on, and the supper and things happening. But look what's happening right now in Luke 22:31. In verse 31, Simon, Simon. Now, I'm not here to study Peter. I'm not here to get in involved with Peter. But people, Peter is one of those that likes to open their mouth all the time. And when you open your mouth all the time, sometime you might speak something good. But most of the time, you'll get the leather of your shoe right in your mouth. And this is what's going to happen to Peter. Peter has boasted, and it sounds so good. I will go with you. I will die for you. These other turkeys, they may leave you. But boy, not me. I'll be right there, and I'll die with you and for you and all this stuff. Now, let me just ask you, did Christ ask Peter to die for him? No. In fact, he couldn't. He didn't even ask him to go with him. He had to bear the cup alone, drink the cup alone. So Peter wanted to open his mouth, though, and just demonstrate this flesh love of Christ. And so we have now in verse 31, Simon, Simon, Behold, okay, Simon, listen up. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now, years ago, I did a study called When Satan Calls Your Name. This is where it came from. Satan's calling Peter's name. I want him. Just as he's called Job's name in our study of Job. By the way, if you have any wonderings about divine discipline when you're in sin and these kinds of things in a sin pattern, please, if you cannot make it, please get last Wednesday night's tape. It is a crucial study. It's not in the study of divine discipline on Tuesday night that we're studying. But boy, what we did Wednesday night is crucial. And I just highly recommend it to you. The message, the study, the work that where we went was just phenomenal in understanding a lot of things about divine discipline. And from the book of Job, God says to Job, or to Satan, you have incited me against Job to ruin him. And the most beautiful thing, people, about that word in the Hebrew, God chose that word on purpose. That is a beautiful, that is a technical word, and it the beauty of it is it has two opposite meanings almost. Now, and what you have in it is in one word, in one meaning, you have, because we're going to start studying, oh, it's going to get really bad for Job. He lost everything in one day, but it's going to get a lot worse for Job. He's getting ready to go on a lot of suffering. So why is all of this going to happen? The word, the Hebrew word, means, on the one hand, it means to ruin. It means to destroy. It means to take down. That word is Satan's objective. But the word also means, and we looked at some beautiful passages. I'm almost tempted to take you on that journey, but I've already taught the lesson. But it also means, and he uses this with the Hebrews and the Egyptians, the same word, to bring into such confusion that your soul's in turmoil. And the very next verse is that you may cry out to me, and I will respond and bring you to truth. So Satan's objective against Job and against all of us is to bring us down, knock us out. God's objective, when divine discipline comes into our life, when things happen in our life like this, is to bring you to the point where he can use you and where you will be restored and trust him. And it's a shame that most Christians have the idea that Satan does, kick them out, scrap them. Whereas God's always move is toward restoration. It's a beautiful study on divine discipline Tuesday and Wednesday night. I encourage you to take a look at it. Verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you. The reason that if you're in the New American Standard, permission's in italics, it's a difficult word to just translate. For you and I both know Satan can't demand of God. So, but the word means that, but it has a lot of tension with it. So they try to help us here with divine demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now verse 32. But I, Jesus Christ, have prayed for you, Peter. Dear people, when Satan's attacking somebody, don't judge him and malign them and kick them. You go into prayer. You want to be like Christ. I pray for you. Now, what does he pray? That your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, so his faith will go into darkness a little bit. It's what we're seeing here. And what will he do? Strengthen your brothers. Strengthen others who fail. Encourage others who fail. What is the word I want to draw to your attention to? That your faith may not be eclipsed. And the idea here is totally eclipsed. The word is, I'll put it on the board for you so that you can see it. And this is E-K-L-E-I-P, long O, eclipo. It's where we get the word eclipse. That's where we get the English word eclipse, comes from the root of this word right here. And that's what we have in our study. Now let's go back to the Gospel of John chapter 12. So we're going to take a look. In dealing with the result of spiritual eclipse, you do not know where you're going. Now, most of you, as you know, eclipse mean, what does the word mean? It means that something falls into obscurity. In the passage of Luke, that your faith does not fall into obscurity. That's what he's saying. It also means to be overshadowed by something else, so that it is not seen. Now, in spiritual eclipse, what happens is, when your faith is eclipsed. And when that happens, people, you're walking in darkness. Now, in context, we're talking about unbelievers. We're talking about the nation of Israel. But the application, as we just saw with Peter, is applicable to believers. Our faith can be eclipsed. So, we have the light. So here I'm going to put the light. Down here I'm going to put you. Now, the light, depending on the context, depending on what we're discussing, God the Father is light, God the Son, Jesus Christ, is light, and God the Holy Spirit is light. For the unbeliever, when we talk about the light, we're talking about God the Son. Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of the world that came into the world. You believe on Him. For the born-again believer, our immediate light is God the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens when you're walking in the light? Here you're the light. Your eyes are set on Him. You see where you're going as far as the plan of God is concerned. But what we're talking about, a spiritual eclipse, is when you allow something to, I'm going to bring it from here because it's going to be the adversary in this case, comes down and starts bringing something and gets between you and the light. Gets between. So here you are walking and you're no longer seeing the light. The light is no longer has influence on you. Therefore, with the light vanished, we all know what happens. You are now in darkness. And darkness is equivalent to death. In other words, people, whatever you and I do, when we're out of the filling of the Spirit, it's just as though we were dead. Now, you may be doing some wonderful things. You might be making a lot of money. You might be a very busy person. On the spiritual realm or religious realm, you might be doing a lot. You might be giving money. You might be serving and doing a lot of things, going to church, all these kind of things. It's dead. It is dead. Dead works. Dead everything. You're in darkness. It doesn't matter what you're doing. That time, as far as the calculation of time is concerned, it's dead. It doesn't even count. Because it is eclipsed. We are in the light of Christ when we put our trust in Christ. When we are walking in light, when we put our trust in God the Holy Spirit. So we allow, and there are so many things that can come between perform the darkness. Satan is the designer. Satan is the designer of trying to eclipse our faith. People, this is what he wants to eclipse, is your faith. This is what he wants to eclipse. He doesn't care what you do as long as you're doing it in the flesh. He does not care how much money you give. He does not care how many songs you sing. He doesn't care how much you do in the church, how much you do in everything else as far as religion or even Christ in the umbrella of Christianity is concerned, as long as you're not doing it by faith in the Holy Spirit. Because he knows it's darkness. So he tries to bring in something so that you do not see. There are a great number of things that come into that he uses. First of all, he uses the law. Do and do, do and do. Rule here and a rule there. He uses Satan's lie. Satan's lie is that I must perform for God. If I perform, then I should be rewarded. If I do not perform, I do not deserve to even be loved. He uses our basic instinct. Have we studied this in Jude? This is our basic instincts. He uses people. He uses other people to get you to walk in darkness, to keep you from walking in the light. People, this is why it is so important for all of us. But we really try to challenge young people, teenagers, in regard to friends, associates, all these kinds of things. And it is arrogance to say, I'm not influenced by people. We're all influenced by people, whether you want to admit it or not, you are. We're all influenced by people. And Satan uses people to keep us from walking by faith, to doing the plan of God, walking in the power of the Spirit. Things do not have to be sin. I'm going to put it on the board. These things are not all sin either. Don't think of just, oh, well, if you're sinning, you're in darkness. No, people, you can be doing a lot of wonderful things that are ordinarily classified as one and be in darkness. That's the law. That's performance. Doing all these things. Now, here's one of the bad parts about it. Here's one of the difficult things about being in darkness and not even know where you're going. Let me tell you what that is. If things are going well, we have Church of Ephesus. People, things are going so well. They're big. They're growing in our study of Revelation 2 and 3. The Church of Laodicea. We are so rich. We are so wealthy. God is so blessing us. It has to be God. We're doing it right. No, they're in sin. They're in sin. They're in darkness. But boy, are they prospering. Prosperity fools you. Prosperity fools you. Now, generally, sin doesn't fool us. We know that. But prosperity will fool you. Prosperity will make you think everything's going wonderful when indeed and in truth. And that's why to the Church of Laodicea, what does he say? You're blind and you're naked and you're poor and you don't even see it. People, that's a horrible condition. Don't even see it. Why? Because you're in darkness. And you just think everything's wonderful. So these are the things that we're dealing with in our study. Now, when you're in the light, you're walking by faith, then you're in the light. You're in life. It's alive, and everything you do is going to be important. Now, remember that Jesus is speaking to the nation. In effect, this is his farewell address to the nation. Jesus Christ, as you know, has come to the Jews, the nation of the Jews. They have rejected him. Therefore, they have rejected the light. What is the result of that? They're in darkness. Now, get ready for this, because this is important. When you are in darkness, if you reside in darkness and stay there, people, there's no reason for you to be around. You're taking up space. So not too many years from now, in 70 AD, the nation will be taken out. They don't want to perform for what their whole purpose of existence. People, this is so important. What is their purpose of existence? Purpose of existence is all related to the Messiah. If they don't want him, what good is their purpose? Silly, silly example. It's the purpose of our automobiles, to get us from A to B. When the car just dies, and it is not going to go anymore unless you push it, we junk it. Had this car for a long time. I love this car, but it didn't get me anywhere. Junk it. Why do we do that? It's not serving its purpose anymore. We're not going to leave it in a driveway. We're not going to leave it in a garage. Well, most of us don't. We're not going to leave it in a garage. We're not going to leave it around. We're going to get rid of it. It serves no purpose anymore. So you get rid of it. People, if you want to live in darkness, you're serving no purpose. And for us living in darkness, if you don't want to walk in the power of the Spirit, and you just want, oh, every now and then I'll get in the Spirit, it's serving no purpose. And that's the danger that's going on here with the nation of Israel. The external darkness, that is the historical removal of the nation of Israel, is but a result of the internal darkness of the people. And that internal darkness is caused by their rejection of the light. They're eclipsed into darkness. The rejection of Jesus Christ as Messiah, Savior, brings about soul eclipse, which places the person into a state, and here a nation, into the state of darkness Then comes the unavoidable eternal ramifications. The external ramifications of what's going on in your life. Please turn with me to Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. People, I could preach all of this on us, but I do want you to see how the historical importance of what's going on to the nation of Israel, where they are today, why they're going to come back. So much needs to be understood about the Jews that just so few understand, I'm sorry, in the world today. Martin Luther, having sung his song, did not understand the Jews. Martin Luther was anti-Semitic, and I mean it in the severest way. He was anti-Semitic. Don't want to be that. We want to understand what's going on. Okay, Jeremiah 13. Let's begin looking at verse 15. Jeremiah 13, verse 15. The first word, people, is just one of those essential words in our life. Listen. Listen. That's why we have at least 3 Bible classes a week here. I'd love to have more. But this is what you've got to do, is listen. Listen and give heed. That means be responsive to what you're hearing. Do not be arrogant. For the Lord has spoken. Verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God. Now, how does one give glory to the Lord? Let's have fun. See if I'm doing any good in my teaching. How do we give glory to God? What's the greatest way we can give glory to God? Trust Him. Thank you. Trust Him. Talked to Dr. Ryrie of the Ryrie Bible. We were in seminary and a lot of times, and I remember one time, he said, the worst thing I hate is to give test. And I said, well, so do I, as a matter of fact. he said, the reason I hate to give a test is because if just the over majority of the students don't do well, that means I'm not doing it. So he said, I really hate it. I said, well, then why don't you just forget it? Forget it. And I smiled and kept doing it like professors will. But that's the point that he was making there. Give glory to the Lord your God. And we do that by faith. The greatest praise that we can give God is to trust the one he sent. He sent his Son for our salvation. He sent his Spirit for our spirituality. Okay. Now you better give glory to the Lord, that means to trust him, before he brings darkness. When you reject truth, you will go into darkness. And then know what happens now, you're in darkness, and before your feet stumble on the dusky mountains. Now look what he said, you're going into darkness, and that's what's going to cause you to stumble. They stumble because they're in darkness. This is very close to the Isaiah 28:13. Go and stumble backwards, broken, snared, and taken captive. You reject the truth. You reject the light. Continuing verse 16. And while you are hoping for light, look what happens. He makes it into deep darkness and turns it into gloom. Okay, very important principle. Once you reject the light and you're in darkness, you're going to grope. And how they're going to grope. How they turn to other things. And this is true even in the spiritual realm, people. One rejects that you're saved by faith alone. What happens when a pastor... What happens when a pastor, let's pick on him a minute, rejects that you're saved by just faith alone, faith only, in Jesus Christ alone, and in Jesus Christ only? Once he does that, he's got to lead his flock into something else. He's got to say, here's what you've got to do. Yes, it's faith in Christ plus the law, plus whatever their list is. Got to do that. You grope. Once a pastor, an individual, but I'm just picking on the pastor. Once a pastor says, you're not filled with the Spirit, by faith only and faith alone, you're not filled with the Spirit, then the begging question from the congregation will be what? What will the next question be? If I say to you, you are not filled with the Spirit by faith, what is your question? How? How? I've got you right where I want you now. I've got you right where... It's the greatest sales technique in the world. Boy, how do I get that product? How do I get that? Got you right where I want you now. Sales is almost done. And now all I have to do is show you from the Bible what I've come up with on what you got to do to be filled with the Spirit. That's other than faith. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to be laid aside. You've got to do all kinds of things that preachers come up with. Now, people, we do this ourselves in life. You reject the light, you're going to have to go somewhere else. They find it somewhere else. Husband and our wife, and generally speaking, reject their spouse. What's going to happen? They're going to go somewhere else. And, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, this is just so great. And then they go somewhere else after that one, generally. And then somewhere else after that one. People, when you reject the light, you're on a search now. I've got to fill up the void. I've got to have a sense that I do know where I am going. That's what's happening. Now, having that in mind, we come to verse 17, and it is, to me, the saddest words in the Bible. And I mean that in Isaiah 28 or here, anywhere I read it in the Bible. But if you will not listen, they would not listen. This describes the people all through history. Here, Isaiah 28, Jeremiah, Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now, let's just read as we flow without me stopping. Listen and give heed. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness and before your feet stumble on the dusky mountains. Now, people, please, let me just stop one thing. I didn't do it a while ago. The mountains, don't think about mountains. Think about, the mountains are the high places of idolatry. The mountains are the high places of idolatry. Before you stumble on the dusky mountains, these are other things, the law. These are other things that come along in your life. On the dusky mountains, and while you are hoping for light, that means you're going to find other solutions. You're looking around. He makes it into deep darkness. Instead of rejecting, you reject his light, so you go to what you think this is light, and boy, you're just trying and trying. And what's going to happen? It isn't going to satisfy. Oh, it'll satisfy for a moment, but it isn't going to satisfy. And you're always going to be groping. That's the picture going on here. He makes it into deep darkness and turns it into gloom. But if you will not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret. Now, this is very close to our study in Divine Discipline on Tuesday, Wednesday, to understand the whole thing that God is doing. Now, while we're here, please turn back to Jeremiah 11 a moment. Jeremiah 11. Because you're getting ready to see, you're seeing the darkness that the nation of Israel is going to be going into. And Jeremiah chapter 11, all I want to do is just read with you two verses. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among their inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors, who refused to hear my words. That's parallel to what? They would not listen. Who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods. See, they've got to fill in the gap, the vacuum. You've got to fill it up. They've gone after other gods to serve them. Oh, people, it is amazing the number of born-again Christians who just, I will not walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and do they work, and do they labor. And you don't have to. They go and work and work and work. They have refused to listen to my words, hear my words. They have gone after other gods and served them. the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, and which I made with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, now let's go back to Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that the darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. He who walks, here Jesus Christ switches from the imperative walk to a present active participle. This is what's going on in the nation. See, imperative is to get into the light, but here he changes it. He who walks, present active indicative, this is their condition. They are in spiritual eclipse. He who walks in darkness. So in our spiritual eclipse, this is where they're walking now. This took some time for the eclipse to occur. Now they're walking here, present tense. Condition of the nation, they're in darkness. He who walks in darkness. The definite article, the darkness, specifies this darkness as the darkness of rejection of Jesus Christ that has been played all the way through the Old Testament in bringing Israel and then Israel's rejection of their very purpose for being brought into existence. People, Israel, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, are not ordinary development in history. They are not, they all, by the way that various races are developed. They are brought on by God for a specific purpose. He molded them. Abraham was a Gentile. And then came Isaac, and then Jacob. And here we have a whole new race on the scene that was not there before, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have a purpose. God says, I'm going to do this. I'm bringing into redemption. I'm bringing into play redemption. I'm going to use these people. Answering the question that was asked in Job, how can man be righteous who is unrighteous? Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. I can and I will. Here's he doing it. This is what the nation of Israel is about. They're not fulfilling their purpose. So that is the darkness. That's the reason for the definite article there. They have rejected him, and so now they have to find other things. Now the result of spiritual eclipse, he who walks in darkness, in the darkness, does not know where he goes. All right, what does this mean? People, the unbeliever has no basis for the decisions they make in life. And the same thing is true for a believer who's not walking in the power of the Spirit. You have no spiritual basis for the decisions you make. Where to live. Whom to marry. Where to go to college. What to do with your life. What to do with your money. All kinds of questions that we make have no reason other than the flesh. They have no spiritual reasons. Now, they do not know. Okay, this is a perfect active indicative of idom. Plus the negative, not know. This is one of the most discouraging conditions to be in life. People, this is what drives a lot of people to suicide. I've just lost it all. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't get a hold of myself. This is what causes a lot of people to become alcoholics, drug addicts. You just give up on purpose. You give up things, whatever the conditions and circumstances may be in your life, you just give up on them. And so you're in that darkness. And it's overbearing. And it's overbearing. I think I'll just go drink and drink and drink. And we all know that is an illusion. It doesn't. The drugs don't either. But you try to go to get it off of you for a while. Get it out of your mind for a while. It drives a lot of people to that. But let me tell you something. Remember this, it drives a lot of other people to the law. If I can just get my life regimented, if I can just get my life, like this is what God wants me to do. Tell me what God wants me to do today. And don't talk about faith and don't talk about love. I can't see that. I can't get a hold on it. Tell me what to do. And boy, the law is perfect. The law will tell you what to do. People, the law is right there. What if you're walking down a path and you see a little bird nest in the road? In your path. What are you supposed to do? Law will tell you. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to make any decisions. All I have to do is what? Know it. Study it. Learn, and know everything. And if you make any mistakes, it's because you haven't studied enough. See? You don't know enough. Learn some more. Study some more. What does faith do? You've got to trust Him. What happens if I come upon the nest of the bird and the bird? Do I kick it out of the road? What do I do? We walk by faith, people. That was supposed to have been funny. We walk by faith. And that's difficult. It's so easy, but it's so difficult to just trust Him. And we don't want to do that. We want to walk by law. So, this is their condition. Now, please don't underestimate what Christ is saying here, people, about the darkness and not knowing where you're going. This is so important to all of us. So many people spend their lives, their whole lives, I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians, spend their whole lives in darkness. Spend their whole marriage in darkness. Spend all their money in darkness. Spend all their time in darkness. A wasted life. Most precious thing you have, people. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's not the dog. It's your life. What you do with it. And the most difficult and the most horrible epitaph on tombstones, and if they were written, this is what they're written. A wasted life. Wasted life. What a tragedy. Does it have to be? No. Does it depend on making money? No. Does it depend on where you live? No. Does it depend on all these human things? No. Does it depend on how handsome or how beautiful you are? How rich or poor? All these kind of, no. Depends on one simple thing. We walk by faith in the power of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it's a wasted life. What is important here is the perfect tense. Do not know. The reason I say that is that because the perfect tense places emphasis on the present result of a past action. The past action was to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. So now the present result is that the eclipse has occurred and you're walking in darkness. But why are you walking in darkness? Because of a past action. Past action, you said no. You said no to Jesus Christ. You said no to the Holy Spirit. And the present result of that is you're walking in darkness. Does that make any sense to anybody? No, not really. Okay. But when you're in the darkness and you're walking in the darkness, it's because of a previous decision in the past somewhere. Now, the text is dealing with a status. But in principle, this is what happens to all of us when we're in sin. When you and I decide, okay, I'm no longer going to trust the Spirit. I'm no longer going to depend on the plan of God. And when God, I'm taking matters into my own hands now. I have made my request be made known to God, just to be funny. I have made my request. I want a date by Friday night. It is now 15 minutes since I've given the prayer. God hasn't answered. I'm now taking over. I'm getting on the phone and I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make the plan of God happen because He's not doing it. Okay, people, the moment we decide that we're not going to walk in the Spirit, we're in darkness. That's our status quo. And we've eclipsed the light. Okay, so they have made a decision. The nation has made a decision about this man Jesus. They've got to turn Him over to the Romans to be crucified. The one who keeps on walking in darkness, rejection of Christ the Savior for the believer, the Holy Spirit, but here it's Jesus Christ, spiritual eclipse, do not know where he goes, result of the eclipse. Now, the only problem is, does not know where he goes. Boy, what a shame. The word is just too rich. I mean, it is just too rich. Hupago looks like this in the Greek. And this is with breathing, so H-U-P-A-G, long O. Hupago. Now, let me just tell you, without giving you a 30-minute word study on this, let me just tell you what hupago means. It comes from a compound, from, and then it means the root to withdraw, to depart, to go out. It doesn't mean he doesn't know where he goes. It means that he has withdrawn. He has pulled himself out. It means to go out, to withdraw, to depart. The believer in darkness has pulled out and departed from the light. He's made a decision to leave the light. He's made a decision to leave Christ. He's made a decision to leave the Holy Spirit. In our study of the nation, they have made a decision about this man Jesus, and they don't want him. So this is really what the word means. Not just they do not know where he goes. It means he is pulled out of the light. He has withdrawn. Person in spiritual clips, therefore, has no direction in life now. And he's got to start hunting. And for the religious person, where do they go? Straight to the law. Why not? It's in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. So they go straight to the law, which is what exactly the Pharisees did. They went to the law. And the real tragedy is, they don't even know that they're not in the light. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. They're poor, blind, and naked, and don't even know it. Don't even know it. Because you think you're doing right. I know I did for a long time. You don't even realize it. Now here's a perfect description of spiritual eclipse. Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer, some 47 days in the total realm, the light is among you. Jesus Christ is with the nation. Walk while you have the light. That is, believe in him, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. In other words, he has withdrawn from the light. In verse 36, Jesus Christ tells them what it means to walk in the light and the solution to spiritual eclipse. That's what it means. Now, before we go into that, let's do a little work, just a little, on this whole play of darkness and light as far as the nation of Israel is concerned and a little bit of the church. Look with me at the Gospel of John chapter 1. You can take notes on this and then come back and kind of go over them. We'll do it rather quickly. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 5. He's been playing this with the nation of Israel and with us. All believers from that this point on, but he's been playing. Well, actually, he's been playing it since Genesis 1. But here we'll just start this study, this flow the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So it started right off doing that. Look at chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus, again, therefore Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, people, how much geometry do you have to have? I am the light of the world. Believe in the light well, as long as you have it. Bingo. He's the light. Believe in him. It doesn't take much to put all of this together. I am the light of the world. He who follows me, and now how do we follow him? By faith. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So people, this has been going on for some time. Now, look at chapter 12, but let's jump up to verse 46. Chapter 12, verse 46. I, Jesus Christ, have come as light into the world, that everyone, not just the nation of Israel, but everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're pulled out of the status quo of darkness, and you're put into the light. But once you decide not to walk in the Spirit, you resemble what you used to be. You're back into that darkness. Now, here's one of the great things about how do we restore ourselves. This is a great place. I didn't plan on this, but look at this. This is good. Okay, as unbelievers, let's just take a little look here at what we got going on. Here we are as unbelievers, and as unbelievers, we are in darkness. We are in the darkness. Now, if we come to the light, and that's Jesus Christ, and the only way we can come out of darkness into the light is by faith. By faith. Now, people, let's take this as a believer, as a born-again believer. Now, when a believer is in darkness, we are resemble just what we look like as unbelievers. So, if I want to come out of the darkness, how am I going to do this? Well, how did I come out of the whole state of darkness? I came out by faith. So therefore, it is by faith that I'm going to come out. This is what caused Lewis Berry Chafer to write in chapter 7 of his book, He That Is Spiritual. He wrote a very important point. Our salvation as believers coming out of the sin into the light, into the power of the Holy Spirit, is exactly like our salvation as unbelievers. God must do it all. So it cannot be, well, if you confess, well, if you repent, well, if you feel sorry, or on and on and on, whatever man has come up with in their list. It can't be that. It's got to be a salvation work of God. Because when I'm in darkness, I'm no more capable of doing anything as a believer in darkness as I was an unbeliever in darkness. Makes sense? Makes sense to me. It's a perfect picture to see. If you're in darkness, you can't do anything except trust, which is nothing. All you can do is trust Him. Now, look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter. Let's go to the church a moment. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you, this is for the church, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness. So that's our status as unbelievers. Into His marvelous light. Now going backward, let's go to Colossians, Paul's work. Let's look at Colossians. So much in the book of Colossians. Colossians 1:13. Salvation 1. For He delivered us. Now this is when we were unbelievers. He delivered us out from the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, that's Satan's kingdom, and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's the light. Now let's keep going back to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were, this is when you were unbelievers, you are born again believers, were before we were believers when we were unbelievers. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now we're going to come back here because our last little verse, so that you may be sons of light, this is what Peter's dealing with right here. Now, does this apply to the believer? In closing this morning, look at 1 John, right near the back of your Bibles. 1 John. Next one is Jude, and then Revelation. So you can find Revelation, you can find 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Okay, let's just read a few verses, starting at verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from Him, remember John knew the Lord, and announced to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, now we're talking about believers, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, here it's talking about the Holy Spirit, He Himself is in the light. Christ is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Now you can take that one, you can have fellowship with Christ. Or two, you can take it with fellowship with other believers walking in the light. Or three, you can apply it to all, to both of those. And that's what I do. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, you know, you don't have to do anything like confessions and repentance and all that kind of thing. You already have it. All you have to do is get back to what you stopped doing. And what you stopped doing? You stopped walking by faith. Now look at 1 John chapter 2. Verse 9. The one who says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is in the darkness until now. Now, both of these are believers. We're talking about his brother, believer. Is in darkness. Oh, no, no, no. I have disdain for that believer. But boy, I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. And I do this for the Lord. And I serve the Lord. And I do all of this. But they're just people that are sinners. And they don't belong here. They're hypocrites and all the rest. People, you lie. You can't have a proper relationship with Him and have disdain for another believer. And you can try to justify it all you want. You lie. You deceive yourself. Now let's read here, verse 9. The one who says he claims, I like the word claim here, the one who claims he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now, meaning he is not in the light. The one who loves his brother, and that means one that's hurt you and has sinned against you, whatever it may be, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no excuse for stumbling in him. Now, let me just share what this means. There's no excuse. People, if you walk in the light, you see all the obstacles and all of this. Now, what's embarrassing to all of us? When we're walking along and trip over something that's just there. Don't we hate that? I saw that. What? I'm tripped over that. Especially if we fall. Can't you see? Is somebody with us? Didn't you see that? Thank you, honey. No, I didn't. See? That's embarrassing. So what he's saying here is, there's no excuse. You're in the light. You're going to see and walk around these things. Okay, verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no excuse for stumbling at all. Let's go to verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, does not know where he's going. There it is again. You've withdrawn from the light. Because of darkness, eclipse has blinded his eyes. And so he stumbles. Stumble over sin. Well, they just committed too big of a sin. They just hurt me too much. Stumble over the law. Stumble over a lot of things that happen when we're walking in the darkness. And if you'll notice, a lot of times the same motif, doesn't know where he's going. All these things play who and what we are when we are in sin. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, privilege it has been to eat upon the Word, to feast upon the Word this morning, to look at the things, Heavenly Father, that You have for us, that You have revealed to us. And we pray now, Heavenly Father, that we'll take the things that You have given to us, let them bear fruit in our souls first, and then in our lives. Let them become a reality in who and what we are in Christ, that we may walk in the light and see where we're going, see why we make the decisions we make each day with our time, with our money, with our words, our mouth, with everything that we do. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close and walk out this morning. Let's sing 448.